Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory.
Hello, chickens. Welcome back to the Pillow Fort Theory Dome, which is, I'm sorry to say, sonically porous. Sound gets in. So you may hear some planes going over. I live in, a very big city. You might hear police sirens. I live near a 24-hour bus route. So you could hear a bus going past. Like, there's a stop outside. So there's going to be all sorts of stuff. It's, there'll be banging of things. Like, it's noisy here. And it's taken me all week because I've been trying to avoid construction. But I would like to give a big shout out from here in the Pillow Fort Theory Dome. Oh my God, I can't speak. To Isaac, who is a new Patreon, a patron at Patreon. Anyway, new Patreon member, a new theoretician. So please enjoy the comic strip adaptations recaps. We've been doing Children of the Revolution, and we'll have the next couple of chapters on the 14th Doctor comic strip, which is bridging the power of the Doctor with the 60th anniversary episode, and apparently it takes place in an hour. There's an hour between those two episodes, and Russell T. Davis has said that it's all going to happen in the comic book. Also, a huge shout out to Kendall for becoming a theoretician. Kendall was already a Patreon subscriber, but obviously just wanted to get her hands on those comic book stories. There's also some big finish episodes for the theorist tier members. I can't speak English. I've had a lot of painkillers and my leg is in prison. I'm referring to the leg brace that I'm wearing, which I have to have in a full, I have to have a fully straight leg until the end of the month. And I'm calling this leg prison. I'm in leg prison. Anyway, we were watching the an unearthly child, not the unearthly child, an unearthly child, which of course refers to Susan. Ian and Barbara have turned up to the Todders Lane junkyard, and I had a theory that maybe the reason Barbara was freaking out, thinking that they were about to meddle in something that shouldn't be meddled with, is that there was a perception filter somehow on the TARDIS. And I'm thinking maybe it's somehow tied in to the chameleon circuit, but I will get onto that in a later episode. But there was a lovely message from James, who wrote one of his beautiful little scenes, imagining how my stupid theories fit into the show. And it says, sometime later, the TARDIS crew were reminiscing about how they met. What I don't understand is how we couldn't see the TARDIS properly, Ian said. Oh, that's the easiest trick in the universe, my dear Chatterton. A prescription filter, the Doctor replied. Susan said nothing. prescription filter. Oh my God. Can you imagine William Hartnell with the level of deranged techno babble that they put in the show? Apparently Jodie Whittaker said she really regretted the kind of frantic, frenetic performance that she kind of gave the doctor from the start, because she's like, oh, I didn't realize I was gonna have to say all these words really quickly and remember them and have them make sense. She's like, if only I'd like started slowly, I'd be like, oh yeah, I've got time to take a run up to that, saying that thing. Yeah, beautiful. So Ian and Barbara have turned up at the scrapyard. They start looking around with electric torches in the dark, in black and white, which makes it more spooky for some reason. I don't know why. Black and white seems darker and spookier. Maybe because like the lack of color makes it feel like it's really late at night. Like, it's just, you know, when it's just, you stand in moonlight and everything looks like it's black and white. Anyway, Ian trips over and drops his torch, and he doesn't have any matches. So they just start calling out for Susan. Susan! Like, it's a weird look, standing around a junkyard calling out for a teenage girl. She's nowhere in the scrapyard, obviously. And that's when Barbara finds the police box. And it's weird because it's gigantic and it takes up almost the entire scrapyard and they haven't noticed it. Perception filter. Because a perception filter doesn't work if you're looking directly at the thing. It's like, oh, there it is. So Ian feels the TARDIS and then he gets Barbara to feel it. And it's like, oh, it's vibrating. And it's like, it's alive. I did not know, like, it was that was part of this. Like, I've forgotten that this was part of the episode. I forgot the noise that it made and that it was weirdly vibrating alive. It goes all the way back to episode one, this business. So Ian goes around the back. Is like, you know, it's not connected to anything. And then they hear someone approaching, so they go and hide. And it's the doctor. I mean, we don't know it's the doctor yet because it's the first episode, but we know it's the doctor because we've watched other ones. we're watching this after the fact. So the doctor's wearing his hat and his scarf. I've got a dolly of this doctor. He's cool. And he gets a key out to open the door. And then they hear Susan say, "There you are, grandfather." At which point Ian and Barbara pop out of hiding and they go, oh, we're looking for Susan. And the doctor tries to dissuade them from going in the police box. And then he gets excited about a picture frame that he finds in the junkyard. Oh, I didn't know that was there. Barbara says, you know, we saw Susan go in to this junkyard and not come out, and they're concerned. And Ian's like, if you don't show us what's in the police box, I'll get a policeman. And Ian yells out for Susan, and he just yells at the police box. He's like, Susan, are you in there? Susan's like, what are you doing out there? And Barbara bursts into the TARDIS, followed by Ian and the doctor. And they're flabbergasted because it is so much bigger on the inside. It's the first time. This is the first time it's ever happened. Like, outside, it's dark, it's cramped, it's scary. Inside, it's the whitest, brightest place you've ever been. It is amazing. So they're very, like, just eyes boggling. And Barbara's like, is this where you live? And the doctor's like, I don't have to discuss my private life. Oh my God. Ian wants to understand why it's bigger on the inside because he walked all the way around it. He knows. The doctor has some filament thing that the console needs, so he plugs that in, and Ian's like, oh, it's an illusion. And the doctor's like, no, I mean, you can fit an entire city in a living room, can't you? And they're like, what? He goes, via television. And they're like, oh. He goes, so it's not impossible for this big thing to be inside that small thing? I'm like, this is almost as good as the time that the doctor explained to Leela, the fourth doctor explained to Leela how you could fit the large TARDIS inside the small exterior. And he gave her a box and there was another box over there. And he's like, which one's bigger? And she goes, well, still that one over there. He goes, but, you know, which one looks bigger? And she goes, well, this one, because it's up close. And he goes, well, what if you could fit that one inside that one? And she's like, that makes no sense. And it's like, yeah, because that dimension is over there. And anyway. And the doctor says to Susan, look, they've seen the ship. They'll tell everyone now. And then Susan explains that it's called the TARDIS, that it can go anywhere in time and space. And Ian's like, oh, you're treating us like children. And the doctor's like, well, the children of my civilization would have been so insulted. Then he says he and Susan are cut off from their people and he doesn't enjoy this century. But Susan obviously was mad for it. Susan tells the doctor that humans reject things they don't understand, that Barbara and Ian are nice. They try to leave, but Susan says the doctor's not going to let them. Ian says it was one of these buttons on the console, and he starts like looking around for the door control. And Susan's like, don't touch it. It's live. And Ian touches the console. He gets zapped and collapses on the floor. And the doctor's like, if I let them go, we have to go too. Otherwise, we'll be an exhibition. And she's like, oh, I don't want to leave the 20th century. See, he told you she loved it. And the doctor's like, oh, if they go, you can go with them. And then he starts fiddling about with the controls. And then the TARDIS takes off. They all fall over. The opening titles start again for some reason. I think it's meant to be a transition through the time vortex. So in every era, the opening credits is the time vortex. I guess. Then on the monitor, the scanner, as they call it, is this rocky wasteland, and the doctor blinks and looks a bit confused. Barbara and Ian are unconscious on the ground. She's in a chair. He's on the floor. And then you see the shadow of a person wandering up towards the police box in the barren wasteland. And that's the end of the episode. Next episode, Cave of Skulls. Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.